This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. We'll have the G-Bag Nation join us here at 140. We'll turn things over to them for the rest of the afternoon. And guys, I wanted to kind of go ahead and dip into some early week 2 odds as we get ready for, you know, kind of start turning our attention to week 2. And I have to figure out how to actually win money from Mike. Because Reggie, at this point,
I get to pick first.
Yeah. I am still even with Mike. This is ridiculous.
Sounds like a win.
I feel like it's a win too, but now I'm starting to get a little greedy. And again, that's one of the 7 deadly sins. So maybe I should just chill out on this.
Did you not learn anything from last year?
I didn't. I think
he was even.
Yeah, being even is all that matters at the end of the day. And I guess, you know what I did learn, Reggie? I learned that no matter how much money I am down, I can always get back to even by betting that amount of money against Mike, right?
Not the lesson.
Mike, is that a lesson that you think that I should take from that?
It's a lesson that people that get hurt learn, or they have to give their wives to Robert Redford.
Oh, that's right. I'm not doing that this year, Mike. Not doing that this year. I did see a stat, though, that really does stand out to me, and that is Terry McLaurin, who I think is, I've talked about probably too much a little bit, much that that Kevin gave me one of his Prism cards from Ohio State, which I really appreciated. That was an awesome deal. He has now, in 32 games, has had to prepare to catch passes from 10 different quarterbacks in his career, which means on average, he has had to prepare for, he's every 3 games, he has a new quarterback. And to me, that just sounds ridiculous. As good of a receiver as he is, it's a different world. How do I get this guy's trust? You know, they can put it up in the air, but I got to go up and get it and all that stuff. I have to trust this quarterback not to lay me, you know, put me in a place where I'm going to get laid out. And that just seems ridiculous, but that's what it's been for the Washington football team. We tried going through all the quarterbacks.
We got 5, I think.
Okay, I got McCoy.
Uh-huh.
Colt McCoy. I got Kyle Allen.
Yep.
Dwayne Haskins.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Smith.
Yep.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Heinicke.
Yep.
I don't have the other 4.
So there's a few more. I've already looked at this. So, Mike, if you want to take a few guesses.
That's off the top of my head. What he just said, I can't think of the other 4.
Yeah, those 6 were the ones that we 3 were able to come together in the break. If you remember, in 2019, Case Keenum had some games.
Yep.
I believe that is Mark Sanchez in there?
Mark Sanchez 18? Is in that mix.
Josh Johnson?
Okay.
And I don't remember when he came to the fold, because that's what I've got.
I mean,
here
most
in front
likely
of me.
He's going to have another starting quarterback next year. Now this year they're going to go with Heinicke, I assume,
for the rest of the season.
Well, until Fitzpatrick comes back,
right? Yeah,
he's supposed to come back. And is it a 4 to 6 week injury?
Yeah, and maybe they might even add another one to the mix. And you know, we've been discussing Cam Newton. Man, Washington's had to deal with some definite struggles.
I feel like Ron Rivera is pretty strong on he's not having Cam Newton quarterback.
Speaking of, Washington early is at -4 to the New York football Giants.
That's in just a few days.
Yeah, in just a few days. And that is Thursday night's game. Is that a fair assessment of where they are because of their quarterback situation, despite being the defense they are and everything else?
I don't think that Washington can put up a lot of points because of their quarterback situation, but they're better than the Giants.
Yeah.
The Giants, in fact, had somebody come up to me yesterday at the Cowboy game who's a Giants fan, or at the Ranger game who's a Giants fan, and they're just like, don't be too hard on my Giants on the radio. And I was like, I won't be, but man, that is – the Broncos are a team that we don't think is an above 500 team. I think for the most part people think they're going to be a 5 to 7 win team, somewhere in that range. And, I mean, they got blown out. There's a picture of 2 offensive linemen blocking each other as they're letting two Broncos go free. And I don't know. I think that Washington's going to win that game.
You do?
I do. Even though they have Heinicke, I think Washington will win that game.
That's interesting because, you know, I saw it on 105.3thefan.com this morning, and it was Michael Lombardi said they are stuck, the Giants are stuck in time, and they think that Jason Garrett is a good coach. And that is a concern there, too, because if they decide to move on from Joe Judge, then they're going to move straight into Jason Garrett. I'm not concerned about it at all. That offense has done nothing since Jason Garrett took over, and they're still stuck in that place of we haven't advanced, we have not made our quarterback look any better, and he has no better opportunity to be a better quarterback despite everything else because of what Jason Garrett's mentality is, and that is you beat your guy and we should win. We should execute and be okay.
I think what Jason Garrett has on his side for at least the rest of this season and the reason that he became their offensive coordinator is when you watch the inside information, he wanted Dak Prescott, and Dak Prescott went 13-3 his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they look at it and go, can't he do that with Daniel Jones? Isn't Daniel Jones, I'm not saying this, but when you look at where they were drafted, you would say Daniel Jones is more talented than Dak Prescott. Daniel Jones has a better pedigree than Dak Prescott just on the basis of when New York's hiring Jason Garrett. If he took a fourth-round guy that nobody really wanted and he had to truly convince his ownership, please give me Dak Prescott. I know you guys wanted this guy and so did I, and I know you wanted that guy and so did I. But now we're to the fourth round and I do want a development quarterback type of guy here. Please let me take Dak Prescott. And he was able to convince Jerry Jones and the team to take Dak Prescott in the fourth round and turn him into a franchise quarterback. And so I'm sure that's how he was partly able to sell the Giants on, I can take your Daniel Jones and make him great.
From the 469.
And I'm a big Duke fan.
From the 469, Corey, it would be hilarious if Washington called the Steelers about Dwayne Haskins. That would be a pretty hilarious moment if they were
he didn't look very good in preseason when I watched.
He had one good game, Mike, like Dorrance Armstrong. The Broncos and Jaguars. Broncos are at -6 as well. Mike, you said you will never bet on Jacksonville again. Will you wear your Jacksonville Jaguars hat again?
I'm still a Jaguars fan just because I love Trevor Lawrence and what he could possibly become. But after watching what was happening during that game, I did not watch that game live. It wasn't the game on television for me. You can just see that they're not ready to compete. That they were the worst team in the NFL last year for a reason. And Trevor Lawrence and their coach, Urban Meyer, aren't going to solve that problem in year number one. I expect it to be a very Peyton Manning-like season where he puts up some good numbers on one side where you see the yards and you see the touchdowns, but then you see the interceptions, you see the turnovers, you see probably the sack fumbles that are going to happen because they have to add a lot more to that team to make it competitive. And so whatever it's going to be, I am not betting on them. If you guys put it on me, I'll have to take the Jaguars and hope that they can cover a spread. I bet after that game, I'm going to assume the only other game they're favored in the rest of this season is when they host the Texans. Okay. And that's a maybe. I don't even know what week that is, but that's a maybe, the one game they're favored.
The Jags are 4-10 against the spread in their last 14 week two games. So the last 14 week two games, they are 4-10.
And you said that one's at 6 now?
Yeah, that's at -6 there. So, and somebody said that the Broncos are an easy 10-win team this year.
Well, maybe they will be, but I don't think going into the season, I bet if we went to Vegas, you should go to Vegas right now, dude, whoever you are. Like, when you say stuff like this, it's like, I say stuff like this, but a lot of times when people are like, oh, you're a big Josh Allen fan. I don't have one Josh Allen rookie card.
Mm.
Like, not one.
I
think Josh Allen's very good, but I don't think he's as good as people think he is. So, like, I put my money where my mouth is in certain situations, and we bet on certain situations on this. Like, they're an easy 10-win team. Hopefully, if they're over-under was what I bet it was in Vegas, probably 7.
Yeah, probably so.
You should have taken everything you own in your life and put it on the Broncos if you know this for a fact.
Yeah, they were 7.5. So that's where they were at the time.
It's amazing that I do this for 10 years, and I have a good idea on what the over-under in Vegas would be on them.
That would have been a tough bet for me. Like at 7.5, I don't think I could have said that I thought they were going to win 8.
I lean towards
the
under just because they have the Chargers and they have the Chiefs 4 times, and yeah. I would think 1-3 or 0-4 in those games.
The Texans,
the Raiders don't look bad.
The Texans and Browns, Mike. Now we just saw what the Texans did to Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. The Browns are at 11.5.
It's up to 12.5.
12.5 right now.
Yeah,
that is huge. That's
a
like,
big number.
Are you ever comfortable betting that big of a spread? For me, just what I've learned over time, unless it's college, I'm not. Whenever it comes to the NFL, because it's just so unpredictable.
It goes to show you how bad the Jacksonville blowout loss was.
Yeah,
that they're like the Texans are horrible.
To the other point, the Buccaneers are at -13. Against the Falcons. So that shows you how bad the Falcons are in that situation. All right, Vikings-Cardinals. I know this Cardinals team is a team that you're looking at and saying that they are it. They Cardinals at home, -4.5, so they're better than typical at home. The Vikings, though, I don't believe in this team anymore. And I'm starting to think that like that Chandler Jones 5-sack game might be might pop into another. He might have a lot of games where he has some big games like that, but I think, Mike, that Kyler Murray looked everything like he was supposed to look. He walked into the game confident. He made big-time throws. His receivers were ready for that, and then they got the defensive effort on the road in that game, too. I think that's a really interesting one. And then the Cowboys are still at -3. Now, I guess maybe the bigger
one. Tell you what,
one,
the over-under there is 55. I think you have to score 30 to win that game.
In Cowboys game?
Yeah. So I think that. My opinion, and I'm not a professional gambler, is I would put money. I'd put $100 on the over on that one right now. I bet by the time we get to kickoff, it's at 56.5 or 57.
Wow. And didn't you say 70 this morning?
There's a chance that, yeah, this becomes like 41 to 34, 38 to 35. I'm going to pick
easy?
A very high-scoring game in this one. Maybe I'm wrong. I think that it's going to be a very entertaining game. And hopefully the Cowboys are on top. But I think if the Cowboys can't get to 30, they can't win this game.
Now, the Chiefs and Ravens also get after it this week, which how awesome is it that you got the cool Ravens and Raiders game that you got last night, and then in week two you have the matchup that everybody loves, right, the quarterback matchup, that Lamar Jackson is 0-3 against Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. That's Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, like
Josh Allen's 0-2.
Patrick Mahomes just is – his team makes everybody look foolish. But they are at -2.5 at the Ravens. That's interesting. Because
it went up to 3.5.
Oh, it's at 3.5 now of last night's loss?
Probably they looked at that, go Kansas City should be favored by a little more.
And the Ravens are like – I know they're kind of banged up and everything, but like that should be probably – is that going to be the most sought-after ticket for week two is that game right there?
Right now, the Chargers-Cowboys game, I'm just on ESPN. It says tickets as low as $177, and for Chiefs at Ravens, tickets as low as $123.
Okay.
So right now, the Cowboys, once again, even though nobody cares about the Chargers, are the highest ticket to buy, to purchase. Yep, they're the highest ticket. If you want to go see Cowboys-Chargers, that will be the most expensive game as of now.
Well, and obviously, you know, that stadium and everything, Jerry talked about that this morning with Sean and RJ. You know,
and
the
Cowboys are the home of Oxnard, right?
Well, I mean, they're not the home of Oxnard.
So all the Oxnard's going to California. They're going to L.A.
I think the Cowboys are also, like, the home of Frisco. So, like, you got all of those different options, too, there. So, I think that between those two, I think you're right. The pairing of Dak Prescott and the Chargers, the future of Justin Herbert is super exciting. I'm still fascinated with this Chiefs-Ravens matchup. Yeah. Those are my two favorite games of the weekend already.
Because this goes into Betting with Bassick last week, would you have ever thought before games were played last week that Tennessee going to Seattle would be Seattle by 5.5?
No.
That would be a big number.
No, but they're seeing what...
And
how,
it's not a huge number.
Yeah, but seeing what their defense was last year... compared to, game one of this year, their defense still didn't get much better. And Seattle, both of them do like to run the ball a lot, right? So that could be a very low scoring game. You're talking about the Cowboys game being maybe like a 70-pointer.
Yeah.
Like this one could be low, but we've seen, Baker Mayfield had a good passing game against Tennessee last year. And their deep ball is a big deal, a big factor in that. It could be the same thing for Russell Wilson coming up, where he's looking at DK Metcalf saying, hey, we didn't do well enough last time. It's time for us to really load up on you this one. And I think that they could absolutely blow them out of the water. And then Tennessee's trying to figure out what to do offensively, especially with their coach calling out Julio Jones. He said that goes into the dumb S category on his personal foul. That being said, he said the same thing last year. So he created this own category, Mike Vrabel did, for dumb S plays that you just can't let happen again. He called out Julio Jones. I don't think it's going to affect him. I think Julio would probably say the same thing. All right, let's go to, right now, college football on a Tuesday, next on The Fan. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, we'll chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation in just a few minutes. But right now, it is Tuesday. It is 1:20, and every single Tuesday at 1:20, we do college football on a Tuesday. Hit the music, Reggie. Okay, we'll get to that in just a moment as well. All right, guys, I think the biggest story from the college football weekend, I know this might sound ridiculous, but it is that A&M has lost Haynes King, their quarterback. Well, most
for how long?
He is sidelined indefinitely with a fractured leg.
It's all right. They scored a touchdown.
They scored a touchdown with him, or did they score a touchdown, Reggie? Cut 19 here. Did they score a touchdown with their other quarterback, Zach Calzada?
Calzada in the pocket, rolls to his left, floater for Spiller, touchdown, Aggies! Oh, Calzada, he floated
throw.
It right to Spiller, 18-yard touchdown.
Now, Mike, I'm not sure if you saw this or not, but Twitter's the worst. Twitter's absolutely the worst. Because once a joke happens, everybody piles onto the joke with their own form of a joke, and here's how it started. Zach Calzada was called in Saturday after Haynes King went down, and it was a tough first half for them. They went into the locker room trailing 7-3, and here's what Twitter was saying. Here's how they assessed Calzada's first plays. Drink every time Zach Calzada misses an open receiver.
Yeah, he was not the best.
Zach Calzada is a good example of a high school rankings gone bad. Has he ever played football before? Calzada throwing ducks out here. God bless. Haynes King with one leg is better than Zach Calzada.
Oh, wow.
And it just continued to get worse for the quarterback. A&M is always, I always like to make fun of them because Kevin is a big fan. And I know a lot of people out there are like, man, somebody's saying it right now, Colorado should have beaten A&M. They dominated that game. But isn't that the reality of what being in the SEC is? Is that you better be very, very good or you're going to experience really bad losses in the future.
I mean, Vanderbilt's in the SEC, so like, yeah. It can't quite be that. But I think it's just like, you can't look like that against Colorado when supposedly y'all are the great hope at beating Alabama, right? Like, that's the thing about A&M this year is that supposedly A&M is the look to, you know, possibly actually contend in the SEC for that title. Colorado should not be 10 points. I mean, before we even get to, like, Colorado stick with you, 10 points should not be the cap, should not be the ceiling on where you're going in any football game, frankly.
Well, hopefully they can win this upcoming week because they have University of New Mexico, which I do believe produced Paul George, but he doesn't play football.
So things are a little different with that.
Should be pretty good there, as I am rooting for A&M because they are the best team in Texas. So I'm rooting for them to win as many games as possible. It's not like I'm a big A&M fan.
Take
I'm just
that,
like,
TCU.
Okay. Reggie.
Take that, SMU.
Oh.
Rank
UNT.
Rank the three best teams right now in Texas.
No, you're probably right.
According to
I don't know.
I'm like, maybe with this dude out, maybe I should stop, like, but then they play Arkansas, who we just saw. You might want to get to them now.
Arkansas.
And then Mississippi State, then Alabama on 10-9.
Mike's
on
not
October
wrong.
9.
Mike is not wrong. And we'll get to the top 25 in just a second. But he's not wrong about that one. All right, you know what? Let's go ahead and get cut 17. Let's unload on that one real quick.
Start the bus. Here come the students. They're not going to keep him off the field. Here they come. This one has been a long time brewing. Arkansas has manhandled Texas tonight by a final of 40-21.
You know, I bet because Texas is -8 against Louisiana.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm doing it is because I'm like, Texas always disappoints. They always do it. What do? They even get Texas hopes up even more by taking a ranked team. I know Louisiana's not in a big conference or anything, but had a good year last year, and they beat Louisiana pretty handily. And then they're playing Arkansas, which they're pretty big favorites in, and then they get hammered, just like UT does. UT, aren't you tired of this? Like, aren't you, as you guys have the most money in the United States of America for athletics. Like, there's no school that has more money, and yet you can't compete.
Yeah, they are a confounding team to me. And I, you know, as an OU fan, I'm kind of like, yeah, this is great and everything. But they go out every year to go get a new coach, or every couple of years, and they're like, we got to change coaches. And then by the time they get to the point where, okay, now that coach has gotten his guys, he's recruited, he's done all that he needs to do, then they're like, now it's time for you to do it. And if you don't do it that year, you're gone, and you never can. Now, it's difficult to win there. I don't understand. There's so much more that goes into being the UT head coach. You have to do so much more schmoozing and everything. But I don't know if it is just the hype of, hey, we're UT, and we have all the nice stuff, or if there's something else, the talent is always overhyped. But did you hear Jerry Jones this morning discussing this whenever they asked him about that? Because we asked Steven yesterday, and Steven was like, hey, look, you know, that's my alma mater, but I got daughters that graduated from UT, so they're playing both sides there. But when Jerry Jones was asked about it, Reggie, the first thing that he said was, I don't want to offend any of my UT Cowboys fans out there. He didn't pick a side and dig deep after Arkansas wins.
Oh, he picked a side.
No,
because this is the thing. He picked a side. He just didn't. He tried to be gentlemanly about it.
He was.
In saying, I don't want to offend my Texas, Cowboys fans, what he's saying is, if I say what I'm thinking, I will offend you. And rightfully so, because Texas, like, it's not just that they lost. And it's not that they lost by a lot. It's that they got whooped up and down the field, right? Like, they got manhandled. They got muscled by Arkansas. And this is a head coach that you brought in to do the offense, and I was encouraged by the Louisiana effort because, I mean, not only did they beat Louisiana, the offense did offense all the way through to the point, 38 points. That stopped being the case with a redshirt freshman quarterback in there. I mean, he looked woeful, and they just kept him out there when there was another option that ultimately came in and looked kind of good when he did come in. Yeah. That looks a little funny with your offensive head coach. But hey, look, man, that's where you're at. And Arkansas also, they won it. This is a rivalry that they could not wait to get back.
And that's what Jerry said this morning too. He was like, look, that rivalry was always bigger for us. And he said first, for centuries, and then for decades. So that was a little confusing that he went like decades after centuries.
But he's old, but it hasn't been centuries. I guess unless you count the 1900s and then the 2000s. I guess it is. He's correct.
I feel like there are some UT fans out there that are like, hey, let's not anymore. But from the 254, I think Mike would agree with this. I'm a Cowboys fan and a Texas fan. They're the same.
Yeah.
Would you kind of put them same category?
For sure. It's branding, it's money, and if you win, great. But winning doesn't make you any more money. You know, money and winning don't correlate for the Cowboys. They don't correlate for UT. The money is going to be there more than any franchise, more than any college when it comes to athletics in the world. But it just... it doesn't correlate to winning, and it doesn't matter. The people who run it know that winning doesn't matter.
Let's go to Jacksonville State and Florida State with this walk-off call. Cut 21 here from Jacksonville State.
Snap to Cooper. Looking down the field. He's got a man. Caught it. He's free. Phil Y'all Johnson at the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! There are no flags. Touchdown pass. on the final snap of the game. Jacksonville State has won it.
And what a fair and balanced call that was on
That's not what you go to the broadcast for.
There's
Jacksonville
no time
State
left.
Radio.
Somebody help
Six
me out.
6 seconds, I think.
What are they doing?
6 seconds. I think they had about 60 yards.
Yeah.
I Mike Norvell.
They were on their 41-yard line.
Yeah, so 59 yards. Mike Norvell, the head coach of Florida State, said that, you know, afterwards, they didn't go full prevent because there was enough time for them to get, like, a pass up and then be able to, like, kick a field goal, I think is what was was the concern. I do think that they played it. Like, I could get where he's coming from, and you played it okay, but the thing about it is, y'all can't tackle Jacksonville State?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Y'all got to be able to tackle.
Here's the other story, though. That story is exciting. The audio was great. I loved how exciting that was.
It's also embarrassing.
Have you seen the photo of the offensive lineman from Florida State proposing to what appears to be his girlfriend on the field with Jacksonville State still celebrating in the background? There, he is on one knee holding his ring up, Mike. They just lost in a heartbreaking game, in a heartbreaking fashion. And he's like, I'm still going to go over there and make this proposal. I planned it. I've had this ring in my pocket. These guys are celebrating on the field, and this guy's trying to get a W on the sideline. Have you seen this yet?
No.
Would you do that, or would you say, no freaking way, I'll wait till we win a game?
Yeah, that doesn't seem like the time to celebrate.
Well, they got family in the stands and everybody everywhere. My objection.
Dinner party or whatever.
Yeah, my objection is there's got to be a more romantic place than the football stadium.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be.
Hold on, are you against all proposals at stadiums?
Yes.
Mike, what about you?
I'm not against it, but it's not for me.
When you were a player, did you ever see that stuff happen on the board? Did y'all ever notice it when you were
Oh, like
games?
When somebody does that? Yeah. I mean, we just didn't know how real and how fake they were.
Okay. I never know when to laugh about those kinds of things. Adrienne told me a long time ago. She was like, that's not my idea of romance. And I was like, mine either. I love sports, but I'm not. I like sports. She likes sports. You know, that's my. That's what I've always said.
I've heard that.
But I wasn't about to, like, throw that into the mix either. I don't know.
Also, it's supposed to be your special moment. Yeah. Like, let's say you propose in the sixth inning. Now I got to sit down and watch the rest of the game. Yeah. Like, what are we doing here? I feel like this should be a moment we celebrate.
Third quarter, just leave. You know, just leave in the middle of the third quarter. We'll
but
see.
But you
if
came
Luke
to the game for a reason.
To propose.
Oh, okay.
That was the only reason I was there. And cotton candy, maybe, you know, because cotton candy is good.
I guess
actually,
I can argue
it's kind of garbage.
What?
Oklahoma absolutely destroyed the powerhouse of Western Carolina, 76-0, doing what Oklahoma do, and that is barely beating one team and then destroying the next team they play. Watch out for Oklahoma, who's now up to number 3. Now, here's the deal. Alabama, 61st place votes in the AP poll. Clearly, they're the number one team. Georgia, number two. Oklahoma, number 3. Texas is not in the top 25. Texas fell all the way out. Mike, when you were saying A&M's the best in the state, they're at number 7. They're the only Texas team that is currently in the top
25.
They're
actually a 28-point favorite at New Mexico, too, so they're expecting that quarterback to put up more points than 10, I assume.
And
if you don't think he is, then you should probably bet on New Mexico.
And probably for Paul George to not be in that game, and Kawhi to probably not be in that game either. What, Reggie?
He went to San Diego State.
You got a look on your face.
I'm just trying to think, like, Paul George on the football field, what is he doing, right? Like, I feel like the basketball player
chucking
always
it.
Ends up being the tight end, right?
Or he could be a receiver. I bet he could get up and get one up in the air. Yeah, no, I'm chucking it to him, though. And then and that's it. That's it for college football on a Tuesday, gentlemen.
Nice.
So let's go ahead now and chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long.
Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Segment is also brought to you by D&M Leasing for your crosstalk here. Got some sad news to start things off with, gentlemen. At the age of 61, Norm MacDonald passes away after a long and private battle with cancer.
That's funny.
One of my favorite movies was Dirty Work. I just thought it was absolutely hilarious, and he was phenomenal in it, and I stole one of his bits. Where he ran up to this girl and he was like, "Hey, Mildred, Mildred." And she was like, "Oh, my name's not Mildred." And he was like, "I know. I just wanted to get your attention." And so he got her attention. So I used to do that to chicks, just call them Mildred. And they'd be like, "Well, because that's what you're supposed to do with women, right? Act like you don't know who they are. And then they fall in love with you more.
Make them intrigued.
Yeah. They're like,
do something weird.
Guys, yeah.
Any of us have ever figured out what you're supposed to do.
Because it's always the wrong thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You're always
it's a work
trying.
In progress.
But if you need to reach out to any of your friends and give them a big old hug about Norm MacDonald, I think that is perfectly okay.
I think my favorite Norm MacDonald memory, sorry to cut you off is him playing a Burt Reynolds on Saturday Night Live's Jeopardy.
Oh, yes.
that was a great character.
He was just hilarious.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
He had terrible answers.
Yeah, his best stuff was Saturday Night Live, but he did have a nice little movie career for a little while.
Yeah, he had some stuff going
on
there.
He's very witty.
He the one who said, he's the one who said, "Not a fan of the ladies, are you, Trebek?"
Yeah, good stuff there. All right, so we were just kind of discussing off air the tackle for the San Diego Chargers. Are we getting ready to go after those guys?
LA Chargers, Corey, get it together. Right. God, watch football. Right.
Everybody said San Diego.
I'm going to blame Mickey. Yeah, Mickey started
this
morning.
I heard him say that.
Yeah, I'm going to blame Mickey for this one. But we were talking about Rashawn Slater. Now, somebody got so ticked off at me yesterday for talking about how good he looked for the Chargers over the weekend. And they were like, "It's ridiculous that you would be upset that we didn't draft this guy." That's not what I was what I was saying. How are we going to beat this guy is what I was saying whenever we were discussing that. And you guys were kind of looking at him, and y'all were pretty pretty intrigued by what you saw when he went up against Chase Young, too?
Yeah, Rashawn Slater's really, really good. I do think the first game of Micah Parsons' career was solid, and what we've seen from camp and preseason, like, I think he's going to be a great player, and you're going to be really happy that you have him. So whatever, right? We're not going to do the revisionist thing. It'll be like the Tyron Smith, J.J. Watt, where would you rather have J.J. Watt? I don't know. I'm happy. Give me whichever one. I'm happy. But Rashawn Slater got so popular in the draft circles because as a sophomore, he played against Ohio State, and it was Chase Young, and he shut him down. And they moved Chase Young to the other side to try to get pressure. And so then he doesn't play his junior year. He gets drafted. And in his first game as a pro, welcome back. Here's Chase Young again. 53 snaps against Chase Young, zero pressures. Mm. So if Randy Gregory plays in this game, it's going to be tough. Their left tackle looks really, really, really good. And his dad's a former Maverick.
Isn't that something?
Hold on, what?
We just looked this up because he said it. We were wondering if he was Jackie Slater's son, right?
So I looked it up and I got his dad's name and it said former pro basketball player. And I was like, I don't know this name. His name is Reggie. And then Mike made me
Slater's
look up.
Slater's his last name.
Slater.
Makes sense.
So I looked it up. 1995, he played in three games for the Mavericks.
With
26
the three
total
J's.
Minutes.
Are you serious?
3.7 points per game. So what does that mean? He scored like 11 points for the Mavericks.
And he saw what was going on with the three J's and Tony Braxton. He was like, I got to get out of here.
Probably.
Yeah, must have been.
Like, I can't do this.
Because he thought he had dibs.
Yeah, he was like, hold on, I had mine.
Well, yeah, just looking at the career, I don't think it was up to him when he left teams.
Right. He wasn't in the song, Reggie Slater, We Got Him.
Yeah.
In True Blue.
Who all was in that song, Mike? How'd that one go exactly?
Jimmy Jackson, We Got Him.
Uh-huh.
Jason Kidd, We Got Him.
There we go.
Jamal Mashburn, We Got Him. Dick Motta,
We were excited about Dick Motta, too.
Yeah, because
huh?
he came back.
He came back.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Just the coach of three J's.
And nice. Then Brad Davis 2 years later, we changed the song to We Don't Want Him okay. because we got rid of all of them.
Makes sense.
Now, Tony Braxton, they got her.
That, well, I mean, and then I guess Curtis Martin did eventually. Like, he was with her for a little bit.
Too. Don't know.
Okay.
Popular gal.
Gavin, I'm kind of curious if you were intrigued, entertained a little bit by the Peyton Manning, Eli Manning combo last night. Seemed like the Twitterverse. Most of the people looked like they were excited about it. And then Jeff took a shot at it, and then most people were taking a shot at Jeff after. So
did I take a shot at it?
I didn't know that Jeff took a shot
I said it was a train wreck, and it was, but not in a bad way.
It was.
Have you ever heard me broadcast?
Yeah.
Train wrecks are way better than like formatted straight ahead broadcast.
Consistently unpredictable. Yeah. You can't turn away.
If it wasn't for the Mannings, it would be an unwatchable train wreck. But it was Eli and Peyton. I think they're new. So they're getting comfortable, and the more comfortable they get, the more it's going to be a conversation, and the more broadcast tricks they'll learn to give it more of a relaxed sort of vibe. But it was anxious, and they're, you know, it felt like they were kind of competing to describe the action the best, and that's why it works so well with the play-by-play man who can set the scene and do the broadcasting, and then you get a little bit of that analysis, right? But when it's an analyst and analyst,
you're basically saying they needed a Jim Nance.
They
could be the color.
Or they need time to work out all the kinks and make this thing smooth. But it wasn't smooth. It was weird. I got about 20 minutes in. And some parts I really liked, but other parts I were like, geez, can I just get the announcer and the analyst?
Okay.
So I jumped back over to the standard broadcast after a while.
How was that standard broadcast? Because I didn't catch that part.
New guys in there, and it was fine, you know. Okay. It was your fairly generic football broadcast team.
Am I weird that, like, that's my baseline? I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, if it's Aikman, don't care. If it's Moose, don't care. Like,
Romo?
Just tell me what's happening. Give me some analysis. And, like, Romo I do think is better, but I don't care that much. Mm-hmm. I'm just watching the game. Just tell me what's happening. Be an announcer. That's all I care about.
Would you watch the Peyton-Eli thing again?
I would.
Okay.
At first, I was going back and forth because for a while, like, they weren't even saying what was happening during plays. And, like, they were just – and I was just like, all right, well, I'm going to go back. And then I was like, well, me. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go back. And once they got past Ray Lewis, like once it was Travis Kelce, Russell Wilson.
Overtime.
It was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, because they had, I know I saw Barkley and then I saw Ray Lewis, and I liked that combo there because I liked the stories they were going back and forth with Ray Lewis and playing against him. And you could see the mutual respect that Peyton had for him as they played against each other.
How did you think Mac and I analyzed the Ranger game last night? That was 15-1.
I thought you were better than him.
Yeah. I'm sure you guys were just like, God, this is such
like
a great
Moore.
Game. I have to wait till this is over to really hear what Bassick and Mac have to say
this. Y'all should demand combat pay because you got to surgically explain it without being mad or at least act like you care. And that's not easy to do.
I have one Mark McLemore story that's all I'll ever think about when I see him. He once, maybe he does still, maybe he doesn't, but he had something to do with some indoor workout facility.
Okay.
And we went there for a flag football tournament. My buddy D. Martin has the most dry sense of humor you've ever seen in your life. Like, he won't wait for the laugh. He'll just walk past you as he makes a joke. He doesn't even care how you react. And so he knows who Mark McLemore is. And in his head, it was funny to just, as we were all walking out, he goes, hey, Big Mac, nice to meet you. And Mac's like, all right. And he's like, really enjoyed watching you and Sosa chase the record, and kept walking.
Oh, no.
Mark McGuire. Just never looked back.
That's a good one.
Yeah. You're not a real doctor. And just, that's a pretty good one right there. Now, the news broke this morning with Sean and RJ that we will be rocking with Terrence Steele. I have two thoughts here. One, if I'm Mike McCarthy, every time Jerry sits in a meeting and asks me, hey, what are we going to do in this situation? I'm just going to say I'm undecided on that at the moment because I don't want Jerry to go tell people like he did. But what are y'all's thoughts on Steele being out there? Can this team win?
You know, I think it's worth giving a shot. He worked on his body a lot. He was not in shape to be a pro football player, and I'm assuming he did, you know, a lot of work, and we've heard about that. So let's see how it goes. On top of that, I think, you know, they're going to have Zeke helping a lot. So I think it could be different than what it was last year. And if so, maybe it's sustainable. If it's a train wreck, you know, if it's three sacks in the first half, big pressures happening, then I think, you know, most people will be screaming for mountaintops to get Zach out there. Mm-hmm. But to, you know, to try it, I don't think it's a huge problem. If it fails and they stick with it, that's when I'll be disappointed.
That's the one thing I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about this. I feel like they are more capable or willing than the Jason Garrett era to adapt at some point than that group ever was. Like, yeah. And that goes to a lot of different things of what they're doing offensively and everything. So I think they might have a backup plan.
Well, put it like this. The backup plan better be ready. Because this better not be Chaz Green in Atlanta all over again where you get your quarterback killed.
Yeah.
If like Gavin was saying, if things aren't looking well, change it.
Yeah.
In the game.
Especially
not wait till the next week.
Last year, you had the same solution and you found something that worked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to not go right back to that.
And that something that worked is still sitting there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Instead that is on.
My only way that it is acceptable to me is if they're viewing it as Zach hurt his calf because he was playing tackle.
Yeah.
And it's not the same movement patterns. And if we don't have to, we don't want to.
Okay.
So if you want to try it,
yeah,
try it one time. Try it one time.
I think Kellen and maybe somebody else yesterday said it's not in cement that this is going to be the way it is.
Yeah, but didn't Jerry cement it this morning? Probably not.
No, nah, he just gave at least for this week. Who's going to start.
For this week, yeah.
That means he's going to finish. He just says start.
Yeah, there you go. Gentlemen, how is you?
Oh, terrific, Majors. How the hell are you guys?
How's the show going to be today?
Pure gold as always. Thanks for asking.
What you got coming up on the show, Graham?
Biggest stories of the day right out of the gates here. We'll talk about a couple of Dallas Mavericks trade ideas, actually. This will be a good conversation. We'll get you the biggest Cowboys and a Ranger story. Then at 3:20, it's the Rangers player show. The young DH, Yoel Pozo, joining us. He's been raking. Mm-hmm. We'll celebrate with
him. We promise. He's been hitting the ball well.
Okay. Yes. So it's going to continue after
that. Ask Mike.
Proud I pronounced it right, Mike.
He's watched it.
Did I pronounce it right? Yeah, I did.
No, you did. Pozo. Yeah. It's an easy one.
Because it's like bozo. Is that how you do it?
Don't do that. Don't do that to that man.
Let's turn things over.
I'm just to remember.
To the fellas from the G-Bag Nation.
Pozo's probably going to play tonight.
Corey doesn't know how to end the show.
So we'll see you tomorrow on Wednesday.
Say goodnight, Corey.
Goodnight, Corey.
Say goodnight, Corey.
Oh, goodnight again.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.